Amen. Amen. God is good. And all the time. God is good. And all the time. It's such a joy to be standing before you this morning. It's such a privilege to be standing before you this morning. I don't want you to see emptiness in church. I don't want you to see empty seats. Just see the Holy Spirit sitting next to you. So the church is full. And in that capacity of fullness, we're going to experience God's presence this morning. We've already started experiencing it. I bring you good news and good reports from our pastor. He's away celebrating. Actually, he's on his way back. But he went to celebrate his parents' 50 years in marriage. Amazing, right? And I look at myself and my wife for like 8 years. I'm like, okay, that's like 42 years to go. Okay, we'll make it. We'll make it, not by our own strength. Because if our own strength, I'm sure the first night of marriage would have, okay. Did I make the right choice? Well, it's all good. It's all good. Thank God. Praise the Lord. Okay, so before I go into this word, it's just in my spirit to actually appreciate some people that have actually impacted my life in such a marvelous way. And today they have their birthdays. I thought we were here like, woo. Good. So the first person on my list is Madam Grace Kisila. I heard she's 18 today. Is she 18 today? 18. Wonderful. This is a lady that when you see her and you encounter her, you just feel grace. You feel love. You feel that warm embrace. And she wants to journey with you. She wants to take you out of that place of, am I supposed to be in family church or is this home? And she's coming after you. I just pray God's grace over your life. As your name says, grace, that your grace will continue to increase in Jesus' name. Secondly on my list is my wonderful sister, PY. Today she's 16? 16, right? Okay. By God's grace, you will leave and you see the transposal of 16, 61. Amen. But you're not 61 today yet. But you get to 61. This is a lady that, if you know the way we grew up, I have four siblings, we're five in total. And I have an immediate elder brother, Joshua, and I have three sisters before him. And PY happens to be the one before Joshua. So the first two, my dad and my mom, they're really like, I'll probably use the word hard on them. It's just as just the way, it reminds me of the way my wife is hard on Tama. You must excel. You must excel. Study, study. But when it got to her turn, I think my dad just let the slack loose. So she became our gang leader. She became our gang leader. Imagine a lady leading two boys. She was amazing. She did everything. I remember the day she actually fell through the ceiling. She was climbing a mango tree that day and she fell. I can remember. But to show how God is so miraculous, she came through the ceiling, like asbestos roof, came through, electric wires, everything, but landed. And do you know this lady actually still walked? Though she had a scratch on her lap, which is still there, it's still there to today. But she acted as if nothing happened. But you can imagine what our parents did to us after that. Well, God bless you. You're still living. You still have breath in you. And God will continue to bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I didn't start the stopwatch, so I'll start it now. So I'm like 5 minutes behind time. So pardon me if we finish 5 minutes late, but we'll try not to finish 5 minutes late. We're still in the series of miracles. I, for one, I am a living miracle. I'm a standing miracle. I remember when I was 8. I don't know if my sister remembers the story very well, but I was 8 years old. And before WWF became WWE, who watched wrestling that time? Amazing, right? Not the rubbish they do today. That was real wrestling. So my brother will watch wrestling, then we'll do our own wrestling in the room, break beds. But the most amazing part of the wrestling was the shoe wrestling. Who did shoe wrestling? Did anybody do shoe wrestling? Oh, okay, this must be a Nigerian thing then. So this was shoe wrestling. In my house, you probably find only one pair of your shoe, or you might not find your shoe. Because my brother and I would practice what we call shoe wrestling. So we carry shoes, throw them together. We had those spring beds. If the shoe goes out of the bed, then that guy has lost. And it was more like was Royal Rumble. Remember the Royal Rumble, that's the last winner, exactly, something like that. So this faithful day, I was doing shoe wrestling in the room. My brother was doing shoe wrestling in the mini lounge. We used to call it Palo. Well, I'll use the word lounge. It's Palo Lounge, open space. But I noticed my dad had a very attractive bottle in his room. And just as my brother shared the other day, from my brother from Ghana, we love ourselves. Forget Ghana, Nigeria. We love ourselves. Okay? Hospital is far. Trust me. So you need to know how to pray. And sometimes, because where there is no doctor, you need to fall back to what? Herbs. So this attractive bottle on my dad's table was actually a herb that someone had sent to him from the village. But you know how we prepare herbs back home? So you have the roots, then you have a little bit of alcohol. See them? They're smiling. They didn't smile for the root part. They smiled for the alcohol part. But you put the alcohol in it to bring out, extract the contents of the roots so it works. So I go into my dad's room. I open it. 8 years old. I take a sip. Ooh, nice. So I go back. Royal Rumble, wrestling. So something in my head said, no, that thing, you need to go back to it again. So I go back to it again. I kept going until my dad caught me. So when he caught me, you know what he did? Pow! On my bum. So I remember going to the room crying. Trust me, this was what I remembered too. Going to the room crying. So you know those stories that you know the first part of the story and you are told the other part of the story? This was it. So when I woke up, I was told that I was sleeping, then I slept. Technically, I was going. So my body was getting cold. My parents were like, what is happening here? They're trying to resuscitate me. They're putting milk in my mouth. It's rolling down the side of my mouth. Trust my elder brother. He puts his mouth by the side. He's taking the milk. My elder brother is 4 years old, so probably then he was like 12, right? So he was not bothered whether I was between life or death. He was like more like, oh, this is free milk. As long as it's not entering his mouth, it's entering my mouth. But this is it here. This is it. I am a living miracle because that day, I was meant to go, but God what brought me back. How many of us have encountered the word miracle? In its different forms, it could be life-saving, it could be provision, it could be emptiness turning into God's provision, it could be a status change. When you encounter God, what happens? There is transformation. So today we're going to consider an account in the Bible that I'd like to target God multiplies behind closed doors. The widow's miracle. God multiplies behind closed doors. The widow's miracle. And I'm going to read from 2 Kings 4, 1 to 7. I'll try to read as slow as, because I want it to sink in. Okay? So I'll read as slow as possible. Verse 1. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you?" Brothers and sisters, when you're in a position of help, we are all working miracles. God has given us the power to perform miracles. But How you respond to situations matter. Do you make the situation come alive or do you mar the situation? Elisha probably gone a wrong route. How come your husband is even in debt in the first place? Do you understand? He could have probably challenged and said stuff that probably would just dampen the woman's spirit, and the woman would probably know what? Find that help she was looking for. So please, the way we respond to situations matter. It can either give life to that situation. It can make people open up, or it can make people what? Close up. The point here is, when you are in situations that you can step in and cause a turnaround, do not be what? Judgmental. Praise the Lord. Let's read on. How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing there at all, she said, except a small jar of olive oil. What has God put in your hand? What has God placed in your hand? What has God put in your position that you feel is nothing? You know what the Bible says? He likes to use the foolish things of the world. He loves to use those things that don't count. And he brings out his mightiness from it. Praise the Lord. I read on. Elisha said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Please underline that word. It's an instruction. It's a divine instruction. Miracles come out from a place of divine instructions. What is God saying to you concerning that situation you are in right now? What has God said? Don't ask for just a few. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her and she kept pouring. She kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there is not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your son can live on what is left. Praise the Lord. Wonderful account, right? If you notice, the Bible did not capture when she went to get the, she went to borrow the empty jars, but it just said she went. Now, what plays in my head? This was a woman facing emptiness. It was more like a Job experience, right? She had lost her husband. She was at the risk of losing her sons again to slavery. But God stepped in. A miracle is when the supernatural, what? Provision. A miracle is a supernatural provision for a natural need. A supernatural provision for a natural need. When God steps in. One of my famous or most favorite Psalms in the Bible is Psalm 126. And it says, when the Lord God turned again the captivity of what? Zion. We were like unto them that what? Dream. That is what played out here. When God steps in, there is a status change. When God steps in, emptiness turns to fullness. When God steps in, barrenness turns to fruitfulness. Praise the Lord. A miracle is like, let there be light. It's like a let there be moment. It reminds me of that story of creation in Genesis 1:3. That the Trinity comes together and says, let there be. And the Bible did not end there. It says what? And there was. Let there be. And there was. Miracle. A moment where science stops to work. Science cannot explain it. Science cannot explain how a small jar of oil fills probably a room full of empty jerry cans. How can science explain that? A miracle is not magic. It is a supernatural coming down to the natural and applying itself. A miracle is where there cannot be any imitation. If you remember the account of Moses, when he went to the Pharaoh and he threw his rod and staff on the floor, what happened? The magicians tried to do it. Tried is a key word. Yes, smaller snakes came. And I like the way it's been depicted in pictures and videos that the snakes were small, or probably even big small snakes. But what happened at the end of the day? Moses' staff swallowed up every imitation. Praise the Lord. It is a kairos moment, a moment where the natural laws give way for supernatural operation. Natural laws. Natural law will tell you, you feel empty from what? Full. Praise the Lord. You do not feel full from empty. It's the other way around. But when God steps in, he nullifies every natural law. That emptiness, there is fullness in it, as long as God is in operation. Praise the Lord. But what I want us to just dive into this account and actually see five lessons we can learn from this account. So the first lesson we want to learn is our situation should not swallow our voice. Our situations should not swallow our voice. What are you going through that you are worrying and you are not speaking? The account says she cried. She had every reason to just wait and watch her sons go. But she knew the implication. She knew that she was facing loss. She could not face another loss. And she cried. So I bring you good news this morning. Whatever you are going through, God is interested. God is interested. But you need to what? Speak. Cry out. Cry out. She cried out. She did not insult the God of her husband or Elisha. So it is wanting to cry out. It's wanting to speak. But are you speaking positively? Are you saying, if only my husband was working instead of doing the things of God, probably he would not be in debt today. If only he was more credible or more financially literate, he would probably not be in debt today. He would not put us in this position. She didn't do that. She didn't act like Job's wife said, curse God and do what? Die. She cried out for help. She cried out for help. And the good news is what? She found help. Praise the Lord. Secondly, or before we even go to the second point, I want to make this point. A closed mouth is a closed destiny. Yeah, it might sound a little bit harsh. Forgive me for my harshness, I'm sweating. A closed mouth is a closed destiny. Do not say my God knows. Yes, he knows, but he wants you to what? Speak. He wants you to call those things to be that are meant to be. He has given you the spirit, the same spirit that moved around the surface of the earth and when the earth was void. That is the same spirit you carry. You cannot carry that spirit and not act. You cannot carry that spirit and have a closed mouth. Speak. And the good news in Matthew 11:28, it says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. When God steps in with his miracle, what happens? Rest comes in. A miracle produces rest. The second point from that account, for every situation that requires a miracle, there is always a prophetic instruction. A prophetic instruction. And God speaks. The fact is, we serve a living God that speaks. And he speaks with things we will understand. God is personal in his relationship. If he knows you like football, as you're watching football, he will speak to you through football. He will cause a goal to go in that normally should not go in. Pat Tony, you know those kind of goals, right? he will speak to you, and you will know by all human standard that should not go in. But he's telling you through that impossible is nothing. That even your situation is nothing before God. But speak. And when it comes to prophetic instruction, just as Elisha said, what do you have? Your questions we ask people, or our questions we ask people in need, can either bring hope or take away hope to the situation. Amen? The questions we ask people can either bring hope or take away hope from that situation. What is that hope you are giving to the situation? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There needs to be a connection established with heaven where you hear from God and speak the mind of God. And that connection is already established at the point of salvation. The Holy Spirit will carry in us. So for every situation, the Holy Spirit will prompt you with an instruction. Prompt you. What is it telling you? Now the question is, are you listening? And that takes us towards the third point. Every miracle, every increase is preceded by obedience. Praise the Lord. Every miracle, every increase is preceded by obedience. Obedience is very vital in this our journey. This is our Christian journey. When situations come and God gives that prophetic instruction, sometimes it might sound so foolish. That is the truth. Go and wash yourself in the river 7 times. And what happens? You've done it 6 times and nothing is happening. Sure, probably the leprosy is getting bigger itself. And you're looking at it. It's still looking at you. And that's when you start hearing voices. You're just wasting your time. You're wasting your time. But trust me, the moment you stepped out of your house in obedience, the miracle has started. The 7th time is just bringing the miracle to manifestation for your eyes to see. The moment you step out in faith and begin to do that divine instruction in the place of obedience, what happens? The miracle has started. Like I mentioned the last time, the wall of Jericho did not fall because the children of Israel screamed or shouted or praised. The wall of Jericho fell because the children of Israel obeyed. The walk counted. The walk counted. If you think I'm lying, they would have screamed the first time. Do you think the wall would have fallen down? They would have shouted the first time. But he had divine instructions. Walk around 7 times. On the seventh day, walk around another 7 times. They had walked around 6 days. Nothing had happened. The wall was standing firm and tall. But what has happened in the spirit? The miracle has started happening. Tectonic plates have started moving. Shifting in positions have started already. The 7th day, the walk and the shout was just bringing about the manifestation of the miracle that has happened from the place of what? Obedience. Obedience is vital. Obedience creates the atmosphere for the miracle. It creates the atmosphere. Praise the Lord. Obedience usually involves a time element. And this is where sometimes we get weary. But I bring you good news this morning that the Bible says, even though it tarries, that prophecy is for an appointed time and it shall come to what? Pass. So yes, you've gotten a prophecy from God probably when you were 10, 15, 20 years. And you look back to that prophecy today, you are nothing like that prophecy. Does it mean you give up? Does it mean God is a liar? The word of God says he is not man that he should lie. neither is the Son of Man that he should repent. Has he said something and it does not come to pass? It will come to pass. In a kairos moment, in a miraculous way, in a divine encounter, when you least expect it, it will come to pass. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. She and her sons shut the door and begin the pouring. Our obedience should be actioned. So you don't just obey and say, okay. Are you actioning it? And that's where faith comes in. Praise the Lord. So we've talked about, for every miracle, what happens? There is a divine instruction. For that divine instruction, there should be obedience. That obedience should be what? Actioned. You don't just stop at the point of, oh, I've gotten the instruction, and God knows that I cannot wake up by 11 to pray. It can just be as much as simple as, wake up every 11 p.m. and pray. It can be as easy as come to the church every Friday and arrange the chairs. If God has spoken, he has spoken. And as you're acting out of obedience, the miracle has kicked off. And you'll be so surprised how the miracle will play out. What happens? He provides behind closed doors. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As long as there was space, the oil kept flowing. Our obedience should create enough room for the miracle. Now, this point is very vital because our obedience can set the boundaries for the miracle. The miracle does not have a boundary. The fact is, God is beyond any boundary. But the way we act out of obedience. So let's picture this. If the woman went and got 5 empty jerry cans, what would have happened? Only 5. If she had gotten 1,000, what would have happened? 1,000. If probably she kept burying and burying the stuff. But don't worry, there was an instruction that she should go inside and shut the closet. But the point here is, her obedience that she acted out created a boundary for the miracle. So if God has said something, give you a divine instruction, I want to urge yours this morning, go all the way out. Go all the way out. Go all the way out. All the way out. Do not limit yourself. Do not look at limitations around you and say, oh, I cannot do this because of this. That whole act of obedience and going all the way out brings about even a miracle that you yourself will be in awe and say, is this me? You look back at yesterday. Yesterday you were nobody. A day before this, she was totally a nobody. She was not just a widow. She was in debt. Not just in debt, she was at the risk of losing her kids. But in a twinkle of an eye, there was what? A turnaround. A miracle brings about what? A turnaround. Praise the Lord. Point number 4. Multiplication finds its expression in our faith. Let's take note of this. Obedience is vital. Faith also is vital. Faith is the evidence of things what? Hoped for. She was hoping to what? Probably just pay her debts and continue life. Yeah. I don't want to lose my kids. That's what probably she was hoping for. But the way she took her obedience, the boundary she set, she got a surprise. That she didn't just pay off her what? Debt. She had a future set for her. An established future. And that's what a miracle does. A miracle takes care of the immediate need and sets you out for what? The future. But from the place of what? Faith. Our faith also, just as obedience, can sometimes set the boundaries for the miracles. Her faith was revealed in the number of vessels she gathered. Just as we said earlier, if she had gone to get 5, What would have happened to the miracle? Five full. And what would happen to the oil? Stop flowing. A thousand full. Oil stops flowing. A million full. Oil stops flowing. Multiple full. And oil stops flowing. Action your faith this day. Do not allow the situation swallow your voice. Do not allow the situation swallow your voice. Cry out when you can cry out. Cry out when the opportunity comes to cry out. Cry out. In your secret place, cry out. I'm reminded of 6 years ago. If not of me crying out at night, I'd probably not be here even speaking. It was 1 week to lose my visa application. 1 week. I had just 1 week to put in the visa application for my school. And I looked around me, all I saw was emptiness. All my man-made plans, just as Pastor Steve had planned. And something happened. I planned. Even the car I was meant to sell, the person reduced the price to almost by 10. It was not even buying the car. Nothing was coming in. And I looked and I went. I remember she was sleeping. Time I was sleeping. I could not sleep. 12 midnight, I woke up. I went into the room. They were sleeping in the lounge. And I cried out, God, you had given me a picture of me coming. If this picture was from you, cause something to happen. That was my cry. If this picture was truly from you, cause something to happen. And God did. Let there be, and there was. The next day, and I'm forever grateful to this family, the next day I got a call. And the question was, what do you need? When you get that question, please throw in a blank check. Whenever you get that question, take full advantage in the presence of the Lord. What do you... Do not hold back. Do not say, oh, you do not have. Throw it in. Come as you are. And I came as I was. And today I am. Amen. 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 Multiplication finds expression in our faith. The miracle matched her level of preparation. Just the same in different forms. That we're saying the same thing in different forms. If she was prepared just in the area of 10 empty jerry cans, what would have happened to the miracle? Brilliant. 10 empty jerry cans. Case closed. And probably that 10 empty jerry cans probably would not even pay the debts. And she would probably still be in debt. So when God speaks an instruction, the key word today is what? Go all the way out. Amen? All the way out. Finally, God's provision causes a paradigm shift. And this is vital. When God provides, it changes the course of action. The way the story started was not the way the story ended. She was a widow at the start of the story. She was a merchant at the end of the story. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That deserves a clap, right? Amen. And you know what? I pictured, when I was going through this recently, I pictured an Igbo woman. Not because my wife is Igbo. Just pictured an Igbo woman. So a typical, for those that don't know the demography and of Nigeria, the Igbos are like the very, very industrious people in Nigeria. Like you give an Igbo man 10 naira or 10 pounds in January, that by December you might see 200 pounds because it's too small. Well, let's keep it small. Let's keep it small. But the point here is they know how to trade and multiply. So I picture this woman as an Igbo woman. Do you know what has happened? She has just established an estate for herself and generations to come. Because after she sells and pays off the first debt, what happens to the next sales? She sells and she buys and she sells and business has started. Business has started. This was just a widow at the start of the story. But when God encountered her, when the miracle happened, there was a paradigm shift. There was a shift in position. Praise the Lord. A shift that meets the immediate need. A shift that sets you up for your future. A shift that changes status. The oil paid the debts. And the oil also what set her for the future. Her past was gone. And she was open to a brand new future. The fear of loss one day. And the joy of gain the other day. That's what God does with his miracles. He sets you up for the future. Amen. God doesn't just meet your need. He sets you up for the future. From being in debt, that encounter brought about a paradigm shift. From a debtor to a merchant. From emptiness to abundance. From obscurity to well, clear defined paths. Praise the Lord. Her story did not end the way it started. Amen. It did not end the way it started. She started as a widow with fear of another loss. It was going to be another Job experience. Lost her husband, about to lose her kids. But when the miracle came in, the story turned around. When the Lord God turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like unto them that what? Dream. So some quick reflections before we wrap up. What small thing has God put in your hand that you are underestimating? What is that little thing God has put in your hand? What is that talent he has given you? What is that one idea he has given you that you are underestimating? And you are saying, if only I was in London, probably. No, because I'm in Portsmouth, this would not. No. Act. Secondly, most importantly, what are the instructions God has given you concerning that one idea? As you are in your time of waiting, do not forget there is always a time factor most times when it comes to a miracle. But in your time of waiting, what are the instructions God has given you? Are you diligent in those instructions? Are you operating the way you should operate? Or are you haphazardly doing it, saying, God will understand? Yes, he will understand. But be diligent in your operations. Now imagine if the Israelites had walked around five times and they shouted. I'm sure that whole Jericho would probably still be looking at them. And who would you think they would turn next to? Joshua. You've brought us here to die again. Instruction matters. Obedience matters. Application. Helen, you can come up now. The fact is, there is no formula for God's miracle. There is no formula. You cannot box God's miracle. You cannot say, if you add one to one, you'll probably get that miracle. Or add two to two, you get that miracle. But the truth of the matter also, that there are some key elements to God's miracle. One key element is what? Obedience. Another key element is faith. Obedience. What has God said? What has God put in your heart? Are you acting in line in accordance to what God has put in your heart? Or are you treating it haphazardly with the disguise that God will understand? If God has said, will he not bring it to pass? Do you have faith? Do you believe that whatever he has said has come to pass? And how are you actioning out your faith? Prepare in faith for what God is going to do. Obey when it doesn't make sense. I'll take that again. Prepare in faith for what God is going to do. And obey even when it does not what make sense. And I'll wrap up with this verse. 1 Corinthians 1 over the scripture. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 to 29. And it says, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Have a reflection. Think of what you were when you were called. Because he has said that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, He called out people into his marvelous light, right? Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, before I wrap up finally, I just want to make this point very, very clear, that our miracles that we experience can be a point of connection to God. However, that should not be the only point of connection to God. Rather, our relationship to God should be what should what? Offspring miracles. Do not just see your miracles, oh, when I encountered this, when God provided for me, when God gave me a child when I was looking for a child, when God caused that job to happen when it seemed that it was never going to happen, when God prevented that accident from happening, when God uplifted me when everyone thought I was gone. And that is the only time you say thank you, God. Or that's what your relationship with God is based on. Your relationship with God should be genuine. Don't forget, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. On a daily basis, we should be seeking the kingdom of God. We should be seeking him. And out of that abundance of our relationship, miracles will flow. Amen. Amen. Okay. That is it for today this morning. But I just want us to pray from a sincere point of view, or from a sincere point of heart, that Father, look at my relationship with you. Where am I right now with you? Am I pursuing after you? Or am I just inclined to miracles? Do I just cry unto you for miracles? Or do I cry unto you sincerely for a genuine relationship from which miracles will offspring and just shoot out from? Lord God, I thank you. Even as we focus on this aspect of the message, and even as we sink it in, knowing that you operate in a place of obedience and of faith, Lord God, show us where we need to improve. Lord God, show us where we need to chase you more rather than just chase miracles. We know you are a supernatural God. We know you say a thing and it cometh to pass. But we want to have a genuine relationship with you, which will give birth to miracles. We thank you, precious everlasting Father. If the widow had not had a relationship with the God of Elijah, or her husband had not had a relationship with the God of Elijah, that probably would not encounter, probably would have not happened. But out of that relationship, bettered that encounter. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for relationships that shall birth miracles in our lives. We honor you this morning. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, precious everlasting Father. Even as all eyes are shut, if truly you are here and you know you do not have this relationship with him, the fact is, one of the greatest miracles a man can step into is the miracle of salvation. What men could not do, what animals could not do, what thousands upon thousands upon thousands of animals slaughtered could not do, his son did for us on the cross of Calvary. And if you know today you've not actually sincerely and genuinely stepped into that grace of that relationship, that miracle, this is an opportunity for you to just Say, Lord God, I surrender. I thank you for what you've done. Let's all together just pray this prayer of salvation so no one feels embarrassed or left out. That, Lord God, we thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you for what your Son did on the cross of Calvary. We thank you for out of obedience, salvation came. We thank you for out of faith, salvation came. And Lord God, we are sorry for our sins. And we confess every sin of omission and of commission. And we step into your grace of a new day and a new birth. We thank you for the journey ahead of us. And we say bye to the journey behind us. And may your grace lead us in Jesus' name. If you've said that prayer for the very first time, we want to walk with you, we want to journey with you. Don't be shy, just lift up your hands and someone will speak to you after church and just journey with you. Or if you want to come back to a relationship and probably your relationship has dwindled, you know surely that relationship is not what it should be. That you've turned God to a vendor machine. God, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. But in turn, you're not giving him anything. You're not giving him your time. You're not even using that talent that he has given you for him. That little thing that you feel is not of value. And you want to just make that turn around and say, God, please, I am sorry. Cause this change to happen. Just lift up your hands. If there is anyone, just lift up your hands with a sincere heart. If there is anyone, if there is no one, all well and good. We thank God for where we are right now. That even as we continue to journey ahead with him, he will be with us always. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, church. God bless you. What a wonderful morning. We still have 2 minutes on the clock. Yes, good. But don't forget your kids. Don't rush to the garden. Make sure you grab your kids in the next 2 minutes and have a good time celebrating with others. Okay. I've been given another instruction that's 1 minute. We should sing happy birthday for the birthday girls. I'll start. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear sisters. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Can I stand up? Please stand up. Happy birthday, dear sisters. Happy birthday to you. God bless you. Amen.